big beat keeps you rocking in your seat.
Oh, oh, the big beat, baby.
Yeah, the big beat keeps you rocking in your sleep.
Oh, oh, the big beat, baby.
Well, you clap your hands and then you stomp your feet. You got to move when you hear that beat. The big beat keeps you rocking in your seat.
Oh, oh, the big beat, baby.
Old grandpa just to make 80 years old. Oh, man, it's crazy about this rockin' and roll. Big beat gets in your soul. It makes you jump and then it makes you roll. Old Grandpa Hall just make 80 years old.
Oh, big beat, baby.
Big leg Joe, he threw his crutch away. The big beat makes you act this way. Well, come on, gang, let's swing and sway. The big beat makes you act this way. Big leg Joey, he threw his crutch away.
Oh, oh, big beat, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to another edition of the Big Beat Show right here on WRSU-FM, New Brunswick. My name is Lou Rollo, and it is June 24th, 2010, and it's a very special show tonight because I have a very special guest with me tonight, as I told you last week. To my right, to your left, if you're watching on TV, I have with me tonight Mr. Vic Donna. Vic, hi, and welcome to the Big Beat Show.
Buongiorno, everybody.
Oh, man, it's good to have you here. It's good to have that microphone working, too. That's good. All right. And we're going to be talking to Vic Donna about his career in music, which is quite extensive, actually. And we're going to talk about from the early stuff, middle stuff, and some later stuff that he's been working on lately. And we open up with something called Rock and Roll Kings, right, by Vic Donna and the Sparrows, which came out on a candlelight box set of records, as I recall. Could you?
Yeah, Jukebox Saturday Night.
Yeah.
It was the last record that I recorded that actually came out.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It was about 1975.
Yes, and where'd you record that? Remember where that was?
I was recording in a little studio in Brooklyn. I think it was called A1 Sound.
All right.
And in the heart of Coney Island, actually.
And is that the first time you sang with the Sparrows, or did you know them before that?
Well, I went to school with Sal Mondrone, high school, so I know Sal a long time. And I knew that he was singing with the group The Sparrows. But how the record came about was guitar player in the band that I worked with, Jerry Vance, who was a husband of Marsha Vance, who was a big doo-wop enthusiast herself and a writer. He came up with this idea for the song, and he asked me if I wanted to do it. And when he told me that The Sparrows were going to do the background, I heard so much about The Sparrows and their unique sound that it interested me. So I did the lead first on the song, and I never even saw The Sparrows. So they came to the studio later and did the background on it. But when I heard the record, I really liked it. And that's how that came about, actually.
I really like it, too. It's a really nice record. And how did it get on Candlelight? They probably just leased it to Wayne Sterling?
That was Jerry Vance. Yeah, that was Jerry. He took it around until he found somebody who wanted to do it.
And Wayne Sterling of Candlelight Records.
He might have arranged it even before it was recorded. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, they might have,
but he did all the arrangements on it. He did all the music you hear was done by Jerry.
Really?
Played each instrument by himself.
You know. Okay. Well, thanks very much for bringing that so we could hear that. I really appreciate hearing that. It is an oddball recording, and I have that at home, but I don't think too many people know about that record. But let's go back a little, a lot further, actually. You sang on Atlas, or was it Angle Tone? Atlas at first, right?
Atlas Records,
right.
Yeah.
Well, that was the first label, and you sang with a group called the Parakeets.
Right.
And I think right now we should do is listen to a recording with you and the Parakeets as Vic Donna and the Parakeets. Something called Teenage Rose. You want to hear that now?
Sure.
All right, let's go. See if I can cue this right up. Here's Teenage Rose by my special guest tonight, Mr. Vic Donna, and the group The Parakeets.
I only my teenage rose. I love her like I've never loved before.
That's really nice. Teenage Rose by Vic Donna and the Parakeets on Atlas Records. When did that come out, Vic?
1957.
And,
I was 14 when I recorded that.
14 years old. Well, you sound a lot older than that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where you grew up and some of your musical influences?
Well, I was lucky enough to grow up in a neighborhood where there was a lot of talent, so I had a lot of mentors. All my next-door neighbors were Serino and the Bowties. I'm sure you remember them from the Alan Freed movies and the records they made. And members of the Three Chuckles with Teddy Randazzo.
Yep.
all from the same neighborhood, and they were all friends of my older brother, Tony. So I listened to them, and I had my own little group in the neighborhood, and we were known as the Emeralds. We did all the school functions, and we even went to the Apollo Theater one night to do the talent show, mm-hmm. and the amateur show, I should call it.
The Emeralds did?
The Emeralds did, and we won third prize.
Really?
Yeah, which wow. was quite amazing in those days.
That was during what year?
That must have been 56.
Uh-huh. And it was an entirely white group?
Entirely white group.
That's pretty... Right. I guess that was fairly unusual for the Apollo Theater, right? Yes. Especially to win a prize.
Right. That was a big $25, but that didn't matter.
Yeah, all of that, huh? Well, congratulations, by the way. I just thought I'd tell you that.
Yeah, and so, then we got a chance to sing on TV... with the Ted Steele show, the Ted Steele Dance Bandstand show.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And my school got a chance to be the dancers for one day, and some of the girls who arranged this told Ted Steele about our little group, and he said, yeah, I'll let the boys sing. And we went on Ted Steele, and we did Story Untold by the Nutmegs.
And you were still in high school, right?
I was in junior high school.
Junior high school, excuse me.
Right. So we got a call... during the show, and somebody brought me a little note and said, Vic, call this guy. He's from a record company. He wants to talk to you. So I did. I called him back. And it turned out to be a representative of Atlas Records, somebody who was associated with them, who wrote songs for the Phytones. And actually, he wanted me and not the group.
Uh-huh.
He said that Atlas Records was looking for a Frankie Avalon type.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, he thought I would be great for it. So...
that probably caused some dissension in your group.
Yeah, I went back to the guys and I said, you know what, guys, it ain't going to work out. I said, it turned out to be the guy who just wanted me, he didn't want the group. And the guys in the group, my friend said, yeah. Vic, you got to be crazy. Why don't you go and talk to the guys, see, maybe it's a good opportunity for you.
Yeah.
Don't worry about us, you know.
Uh-huh.
And when they said that, you know, I thought about it and I said, well, I have to check it out.
Yeah.
So I did, and it turned out that I went up to Atlas Records, and my manager... Phil Perry was the guy who had called, and he turned out to be my manager later on, but he played the song for me, Teenage Rose, which I wasn't really crazy about, but I learned the song, and I did it for Tommy Robinson at Atlas Records, and he loved it. So that's how that came about.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I knew, I was rehearsing with the Parakeets, and Parakeets had two records out already on Atlas Records, and he thought that putting them on my record and saying Vic Donna backed by the Parakeets would help sell the record. As it turned out, when they pressed the record out, it was supposed to say Vic Donna backed by the Parakeets. They pressed the record out as Vic Donna and the Parakeets.
And the Parakeets, yeah.
So when the DJs got it, we became a group.
I understand that, sure.
And, of course, there was never any dissension between me and the Parakeets.
Mm-hmm.
They knew it wasn't my fault.
Right.
And... we became friends,
mm-hmm.
and I really loved working with them. In fact, they got a lot more work, you know, with my records
right.
than they got from, you know, some of the things they did.
Why don't we play, the other side is Count the Tears. The other side of that Teenage Rose is Count the Tears?
Yeah, I didn't bring Count the actually, the other side of Teenage Rose is Silly and Sappy.
Oh, yeah, that's
a
right.
A song that I hated with all my heart.
Yeah, the Phytones did that too, right? Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
Phytones did it. Yeah, I like the way Phytones did it.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Well, let's play another Vic Donna and the Parakeet. This is Count the Tears. This is the next one on the music list you brought, right?
Right.
You want to hear that now? Here's Count the Tears by Vic Donna and the Parakeets.
Count the Tears. Crying for you.
How much do I miss you? How much do I need you? Just count the tears I've been crying for you. If there were no oceans, there now would be oceans. Just count the tears I've been crying for you. Dear, I had your love and I was happy then. Please give me back your love and make me happy again. How much do I love you? How much do I need you? Just count the tears I've been crying.
crying for you.
Oh, yeah. Count the Tears by Vic Donna and the Parakeets. Now, I want to talk to Vic a little bit about the situation with the Parakeets. This was a black-owned record label, as far as Thomas Robinson, 125th Street, I guess, right, Atlas? Right.
4 doors away from the Apollo.
Okay. And I think it was not completely unique, but it was unusual for a black group to have a white lead, especially when the white lead wasn't really a member of the group. How did that work out? Was there? I know there was an incident in down south where you weren't allowed to eat in the same restaurant or something like that. Yeah. Were there any other implications to that situation?
Well, the record was doing very well in the Carolinas. Was number 6 in Charleston, and we were down there doing record hops. And I found out that I couldn't sleep with the boys. We couldn't stay in the same motels. We couldn't eat in the same restaurants.
Yeah.
And I told my manager that would be the last time that I go down there under those circumstances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we never did. And they were surprised that I wasn't aware of that. The Parakeets looked at me like, what's the matter with you, boy? You
know? Yeah, I know. Well, so, you know, I think a lot of us who grew up in the north, anyway, the northeast, weren't aware of that too much. It happened to a friend of mine also years ago. He's a basketball player, wouldn't get served in Maryland. But anyway, that's beside the point. Atlas Records, there were other, did you come across other groups who were, or other personalities at 125th Street who were in the studio, perhaps? For example, I know Little Butchie and the Vells were on the label. The Revels out of Philadelphia, probably didn't see them, probably. The Chandeliers, Travelers, Four Haven Nights.
Only other group that rehearsed with us at the same time was the Phytones.
Yeah.
Yeah. He booked the... Tommy Robinson was a stickler for rehearsals. Yeah. He didn't take you into the studio until you were ready. So we rehearsed 2 songs that we were going to record for months. And it was so much fun because I just loved listening to the Phytones and the Parakeets and then singing with both groups. Mm-hmm. It was an unbelievable experience for me.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
As a 15-year-old.
How old? 15 years old? 14 years old. That's certainly amazing. How old were you when you realized or thought that you wanted to be a recording artist?
Very early on. Very early on. I started singing for my parents and my family at grandma's house on Sundays.
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew I had something because... You know, my mentors were guys like, in those days, Al Jolson, Frankie Lane.
I love Frankie Lane, I'll tell you right
now. And then later on, Johnny Ray.
Yep.
And, you know, and I did all their songs, and the older guys in the neighborhood used to take me to the beach with them so they could play guitars and have me sing to get the girls around the blanket. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a drawing card.
Yeah.
So
it worked.
Yeah.
What do you say we go to the next cut you have to play? Tell me something about Love Was a Stranger to Me.
Love Was a Stranger was a song written by Lloyd Davis of the Phytones.
Yes.
And I liked it because, see, my manager wrote songs, but he was not really a rhythm and blues writer or a rock and roll writer. He was more of a pop writer.
Mm-hmm.
He was an older fella. And when I got this song from Lloyd Davis, who I thought was absolutely great, I was very happy. And Lloyd, you know, gave me a little tips on what I could do with the song. And we went into the studio, and I thought it was one of the best records I ever did. Unfortunately, my manager wrote the other side of the song, so he was pushing that side. The record company was pushing Love Is a Stranger, and there wasn't enough attention on one side to really do any damage.
So we're only going to play the one side you want us to hear.
Yeah.
Let's give a listen to it right now on the Big Beat Show. Vic Donna and the Parakeets. Is it Love Was a Stranger or Love Was a Stranger to Me?
What's it? Love Was a Stranger to Me. And actually, the other side of this was Count the Tears.
Oh, that was the other side of this. Right. So it's too late to not play that.
Wow,
here we go.
darling, open the door. We are the pair of a heart and soul.
Now there's something by Vic Donna and the Fivetones. Vic, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Fivetones, the group, and how that record came about?
Okay, well, After Love Was a Stranger to Me, I recorded two more songs with the Parakeets, which got shelved, and all started with that melee I was talking about between my manager and the record company. Nobody seems to know what happened to those masters. Even when Relic Records put out all the Atlas stuff, they know nothing about those two masters.
Really?
So they put me with the Fivetones, and asked me if I wanted to do any of the songs that I wrote. And I told him, yeah, I had two songs, and we started rehearsing with the Fivetones. This that you just heard was actually a rehearsal with Gene Red playing the piano and the Fivetones doing the backgrounds for me. And we were getting ready to record these songs just before I left Atlas Records. What happened was I found somebody else who was willing to give me a bigger production, and you know, I told him I wasn't too happy with Atlas. I didn't really care. There was a lot of things going on at Atlas at that point that I wasn't too happy about. First, shelving the record that I made with the Parakeets, and then that I didn't really like the arrangements that I was getting for these two songs. And I was hanging out with Frankie Sotto at the time. I don't know if you remember Frankie Sotto.
I know of him.
Yeah, he another singer, and he brought me to his management people, and I played the two songs for them, and they said, "Kid, get your release from Atlas. You'll be recording in 2 weeks."
Yeah. Did Atlas? They must have promoted the records pretty well, I guess, to the disc jockey. If you were a hit down south, they must have really
Atlas,
done some promotion.
Yeah. Well, Atlas was a small record company, and they worked very hard. I loved Tommy Robinson. Everybody did. I mean, Tommy was a great man, and I really hated leaving him. But it was really the problem with my manager, not with the record company.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we go into the next record before we take a break in about a couple of minutes? We have something by a group called The Sharps. Tell us about that group.
Well, The Sharps were actually a four-piece band that played weekends in nightclubs, whatever nightclubs were left back then, early 60s. And somebody approached me. I wasn't doing anything. And somebody, another musician from the neighborhood, came to me and said, "You know, Vic, I got there's this band that I know, and they're looking for a front man, a lead singer." And I auditioned for them, and I got the job, and we played a few clubs. And then when they found out that I had some records out, the leader of the group, Vito Trulio, knew somebody at Old Town. Ernie Mascara, I think that was his name. Or Ernie Maresca.
Ernie Maresca.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he asked me if I had any songs that I would want to do, and I had this arrangement in my head for We Three.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, you know, so I taught the guys how to do the backgrounds, and we did it for Ernie, and he loved it. And he booked the studio, and he booked the band, and then what happened was the guys in the group started to get afraid of having a hit. One of them had a jewelry business with his father that he didn't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy was married and was getting a flack from his wife, saying, you know, you're not going on the road with no band because you got a record out. And things started to fall apart. So the only two guys left in the group was me and Vito Trulio.
So this is a duet then, right?
It became a duet.
No, but you did the over-track voices.
Well, Ernie said, what are we going to do about this? I got everything booked. So I said, if you got enough tracks, because by then I knew my way a little bit around the studio.
Right.
I said, you know, if you got enough tracks, I'll do the voices, and me and Vito will do everything. He says, you could do that? And I said, yeah. So Vito wound up doing the tenor part, and I wound up doing the second tenor, baritone, and then I added a bass because Ernie said, oh, there's something missing.
Mm.
I said, let me try a bass line. I went back to the studio and did a bass line, and this is the result.
All right, why don't we listen to that right now? This came out on what label? This came out on the Wynn label, W-I-N?
Subsidiary of Old Town, I believe.
Yeah, number 702 as The Sharps. Then we'll listen to that, then we'll come back and do some station ID, and we'll get right back to my very special guest here on the Big Beat Show tonight, Mr. Vic Donna. But right now, here are The Sharps with an old Ink Spots tune called We Three.
We Three.
My special guest tonight is Mr. Vic Don, and we also have in the studio tonight another very recognizable and respected singer, Mr. Shelly Buchansky. Hi, Shelly. How are you?
Okay, Lou. How are you?
Let me see if that mic is... Try that again.
How are you, Lou?
I'm fine. I think the microphone's not fine, but I'm fine, so you might want to go into that one. It's good to have you here, Shelly. I'm glad you accompanied Vic.
Yes, it's always a pleasure to come and see you.
Yes, and thank you. And How do you think the show's going so far?
Very, very, very well.
Yeah, Vic's a very interesting interview, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is.
Yep.
It's good to have you here, too.
I came with him for the ride to keep him company.
Okay. Very nice of you. Okay.
Yeah, Shelly's one of the good people.
Yeah, Shelly, you're absolutely right about that. He's a real good guy. And so are you, too, Mr. Donna.
Thank you.
I'll tell you right now. That's a fact. Okay, now we're going to move along and play some more music. We're going to get, and by the way, Vic has his own, a new CD out that's fairly new. We're going to play some, I've played stuff from the CD, as many of you remember, when it first came out. And we're going to talk about that a little later, and to play at least one cut from that new CD and let you know how you can get your own copy. And I highly recommend it. Now, you regular listeners know I do not highly recommend any CD unless it's really, really good. So I highly recommend this CD. But right now we're going to go to something, as I believe you said, this was unreleased by the Compliments.
Yeah, this is the Compliments. Some people might remember them as Mike Zahra and the Compliments. They made a song, I believe in 63, called Angels of Mercy.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it. But what about this group? This is a...
Yeah, this is a working group. They were the four guys up front singing like the old guys did, and three musicians behind them. And they came to me one day. They lost their lead singer, and they wanted me to join the group. I was doing nothing at the time except working in a bank. I quit my job and went on the road and became the lead singer of the Compliments. After a while with them, we got a chance to record this song for Al Cooper, Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Yeah.
He put a little production company together called the Three Wise Men. They wrote the song, and they did the arrangement for it. We did the vocals on it. But what happened was the record companies were afraid of it. When they started to bring around, the record company said, well, this song is about two kids, 16 years old, running away to Maryland to get married. They're not going to go near it.
Yeah, that's a no-no back in
right,
the 50s.
But it's a great record, and I thought you'd like it.
Or actually, even about 1965, apparently, this came out, right? I mean, it was recorded. Now, you did have two recordings that did come out on Congress.
Yeah.
But this is something unreleased, ladies and gentlemen. This is probably the first time this has been played on the radio.
Am I right? Sure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's a thrill for me, and I hope it is a thrill for you, too. Here's Vic Donna leading the Compliments with some risque lyrics, so hold on. Plug your ears up, please. I don't know if you're listening to this stuff. Let's get married in Maryland. Well, that's disgusting. How could you have recorded something like that about children getting married? And that's a very strange recording, though. The production was quite interesting.
Yeah, well, thank you, Al Cooper.
Yeah, wow. Thanks for bringing that. We've never heard that before. It's a pleasure to play that on this
radio show. You know, by today's standards, it's nothing.
Of course, it's nothing. But, absolutely nothing, yeah.
I couldn't get that record out, no matter
what. Wow, all right. Now, we have a whole list of stuff to play, ladies and gentlemen, but we're already got only about 20 minutes left, so we're going to skip around a little bit. And I asked Vic if we could play this next song. Why don't you tell us about this Victor Lincoln and the Toy Breakers?
Yeah, don't ask. Oh, okay. Well, I was hanging around with Cirino, Cirino Colacry from Cirino and the Bowties. And he was a development guy for Born Music at the time. Was one of the biggest publishing companies in New York. And he was in charge of developing new songs and you know, getting them out. And he approached me with this idea. He says, you know, Bailey and Northern from the Cadillacs. I just said, yeah. He says, well, you know, they wrote a song and they need a singer. They didn't want to do it themselves, but they did the backgrounds, or they're going to do the backgrounds for this song. Would you like to do it? And I said, sure. And I went in the studio and we did it. Well, when we finished it, Serino says, you know, Vic, he says, you sound too soulful to be called Vic Donna. He says, I'm not going to call you Vic Donna on this record. I said, you know what, Serino? Just call me whatever you want. Mm-hmm. As long as I get a hit record, I don't care.
And so they named you Victor Lincoln.
He gave me the name of Victor Lincoln and the Toy Breakers, mm-hmm. with actually me and the Cadillacs.
Okay. And we're going to hear it right now.
It's the Please Be My Girlfriend Cadillacs.
Yeah, the J.R. Bailey Cadillacs.
Not the Speedo guys.
All right. We're going to listen to it right now. And it's called I'm So Lost. So that's 1966 with Victor Lincoln, excuse me, Mr. Lincoln, and the J.R. Bailey Cadillacs. That's right, got that 1966 sound. I don't remember hearing that on the radio, though, any time during the 66s.
Yeah, it came out on Mirbo record label, which was the Born Music label.
Yeah.
And personally, I never heard it on the radio either, to be honest with you. But
well, you know, back in those days, if they weren't promoted, right, with, you know, the $50 handshake or whatever it was, they didn't get played. There was thousands of records every week, so it's too bad we missed it. But we got it here on the Big Beat Show in the year 2010 with my very special guest, Mr. Vic Donna. And I'm really actually proud to have him here, and I'm really glad. I think this has been a very interesting and certainly entertaining show so far. And what I want to do now, I guess maybe for the most of the remainder of the show at least, is to let everyone know that about Vic Donna's new CD that is out. We'll play a few cuts off this CD. Why don't you tell us about this CD, Vic? It's called Legendary Lead Singer Vic Donna, 50s South Brooklyn Doo-Wop Acapella Plus Unrecorded parakeets. Tell us about the CD. Okay. Anything you want to tell us about?
Well, I was in Las Vegas. I lived in Las Vegas for 13 years, and I was out there visiting. I came back here in around 1999, and
What were you doing in Las Vegas?
I was singing with a group called the Night Kings.
Uh-huh.
Then I had my own group for a while after dark.
Yep.
And there were non-recording groups, just right. working.
Entertaining.
And I came back here because of some personal family obligations.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have a house there. My sons live there. So I go out there pretty often. I go out, try to get out there at least twice a year. Well, last year, 2009, I was out there, and one of the guys I used to sing with got himself a computer, the Apple.
Yes.
And he was fooling around recording. And he just... kidding around, says, Vic, you got anything in your head you want to record? And he says, yeah, I got a lot of things. He says, well, let's try some things, you know. Now, these songs I remembered from when we used to sing on the street corner with the Emeralds that never got to the studio. There were songs that the Parakeets were rehearsing when I left Atlas Records that never got recorded. The Phytones were rehearsing certain songs that never made it to the studio. And all these arrangements were in my head. I always wanted to record them. This was my opportunity. So we started doing them and came out really good.
Now, we're going to play, I think, Walking My Baby Back Home right now.
This is a song that the Gene Red put together, a little group called the Gene Red Singers. In the group was Ronaldo from the Schoolboys.
Yeah.
And Reggie Bonds was a tenor.
Uh-huh.
And they were rehearsing this song, Walking My Baby Back Home. And to me, the arrangement was very haunting and stayed in my head for over 50 years. And I'm glad I finally got it on.
Yeah. I personally like this song a lot. I like the lyrics. I have a couple versions of this. And we're going to hear Vic Donna's version from the new CD. Here is Walking My Baby Back Home.
Do, do, do.
Ooh, gee, but it's great.
Ooh, ooh.
After being out late.
Nice ending on that thing, man. That is really nice. Yeah, there's several versions of that I like them all, but that one is really, really nice. Why don't you, I have a surprise for you. We're going to talk about the group now that Vic sang that song with. The other members of the group were Vic Donna, Vic Donna, Vic Donna, Vic Donna, and Vic Donna. He did all the voices on that and on each track on this CD. And before I even turn it over to Vic to talk about that a little bit, when I got this CD, I listened very carefully. and sometimes there's four voices or five voices, and listening very carefully, there's not one voice that's lazy. There's not one voice that's not working on this CD throughout the entire CD, making each cut really beautiful harmony. And I want to thank you very much. I congratulate you on your skill and even the thought of doing this like this.
Well, that's a great tribute to the Phytones, the singers who did this song originally, and the Parakeets, because they were impeccable harmony singers, old style harmony, and you know, that was my love. I am basically a vocal arranger. Even though I can't read music, I have an excellent ear. So it was much easier for me to go in and do all these voices by myself, one at a time, then go out and find some guys who could sing and try to teach them, you know, how to sing them, these songs, and teach them the arrangements.
Uh-huh.
It was much more fun for me to do it this way.
Well, it's very humble of you to credit those other groups for this, but you take the credit for this CD, because even though your knowledge of what they sounded like and their knowledge of, I don't want to get another group, that the skill that you have, though, to actually put this forth, I think is quite a tribute to you, and I want to thank you very much for doing it and for letting me have a CD to play on this show. So thanks very much, Vic.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're telling me. I really appreciate this. And I think, let's play another one. Huh? What do you want to play up next?
Let's play a song called Little Angel. This song was written by a friend of mine, John Musella, and we're still very good friends. And he gave us this song when I was about 12 years old. We sang it on the street corner with the Emeralds.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a little arrangement to it. And one day, Serino from the Bowties heard another group singing it after I started recording another group from the neighborhood, the Phytones, which later became the Caribbeans, on that did The Wonderful Girl on Amy.
Yeah.
And he heard them singing my arrangement, and he changed the arrangement to this arrangement you're about to hear, which is a much better arrangement for a great song written by a good friend.
Little Angel, here it is.
Do, 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 little, little angel, you're sent here from above. Little angel, you're the answer to the prayer. My little angel.
you hear all those voices? Every single voice is working hard on that. Thanks very much, Vic, for bringing that. It was really nice. And we only have time for one more record on this show to play for you. So you want to play something called Big Night for Love.
Big Night for Love is a song that the Parakeets were getting ready to record when I was leaving Atlas. Uh-huh. Never got recorded. But it shows the backgrounds of the Parakeets that were so great on all their records. Anybody who knows, familiar with the songs that Parakeets recorded, the backgrounds were great. This song should be called Oop Shoop Shoop Papa Ding Dong Bop Ding Ling Ling. But the way they did it, and the way it's just a great arrangement, and it's the it's just a great doo-wop song.
Okay, tell us how we could get this CD. Where is it available?
Okay, you can get it at www.widetracksound. That's widetracksound.com. Or you can call area code 702-808-1921.
And it's probably available in some retail outlets too, right?
Right.
Avenue
Brooklyn,
D has it.
Yeah. In Brooklyn, Rhythm Records has it.
Yep.
Long Island, who's in Long Island? I forget. Whirlin' Disc.
Right.
And several other stores
okay,
around
good.
Town. Yeah.
Right. And I'll give that information to you guys again next week, incidentally, all right? But I want to thank you very much, Vic Donner, for being here on the Big Beat Show. It's been
pleasure.
A real pleasure to have you here.
My pleasure.
And you were very informative, very entertaining, and as I mentioned to the listeners before, you're a very nice guy, and I'm glad to know you. I really am. And it's nice of you to bring Shelley with you. It's good to have you here, Shelley.
I hope to be back one day with a new CD.
Yeah, and you're working on another CD now, right?
Right.
That's good. All right, we're going to play. The last one we have is, tell me the title again.
Big Night for Love.
Big Night for Love. So thanks very much for listening. Everyone, stay tuned for the Low Budget Blues Show coming right up. And may harmony be with you. Until next time, once again, thanks for listening. Here's Vic Donna and Big Night for Love. Thanks again, Vic, for coming.
Thank you, Lou. Right,
good night, everybody.
My pleasure.
Bye. Boom,
boom, boom.
Woo, shoo, shoo, ba-ba, ding-dong, ba ding a ding a ding. Woo, shoo, shoo, ba-ba, ding-dong, ba ding a ding a ding. Woo, shoo, shoo, ba-ba, ding-dong, ba ding a ding a ding. Whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa. Boom, boom, boom. This is a night, a big night for love. Yes, this is a great big night for love. If you will believe in me and share a heart, yes, this is a great big night for love. I remember now, long ago, you used to stop and look my way. I remember and now I see you put your love and faith in me. If you will believe in me and share a heart, yes, this is a great big night for love. This is a great big night.